Welcome back to the Living Let Fly podcast. Yet again, we are all gathered here around our digital table.
Mm. Back at it again in the white vans.
Mm-hmm. Damn, Daniel.
We are. Daniel.
That's the meme.
Sorry. I haven't had any caffeine in a few days, so y'all gonna have to bear with me.
In a few days?
Yeah. I'm trying.
Are you purposely avoiding caffeine?
Yes.
You're abstinating from caffeination?
I'm attempting to, at least to decrease the amount.
Turkey.
So far, so good.
No headaches? I'd have headaches for days.
I had a splitting headache this morning because I didn't have any caffeine.
Yeah, though.
It's Mississippi in the springtime. These turkeys ain't cold out here.
Gobble, gobble. Wow. I made
fucking
it weird.
Hot turkeys.
Made it weird.
Got some humid turkeys.
Oh, no, not ethical turkeys.
Gobble.
Gobble.
Dirty turkeys.
Gobble.
So humid, they're damp.
Oh, no.
Straight damp turkeys.
That's a wet turkey, baby.
Get some of that turkey sweat.
Oh,
that's
no.
Some of the moistest
turkey sweat
I've ever
sounds
seen.
Like the name of a funk album.
Dude. I would buy a funk album named Turkey Sweat.
Or a funk band. Like, that's a new deep New Orleans. Like, in 4 years, the new touring, like, popular out of New Orleans funk band is going to be Turkey Sweat.
I'm starting it next week.
Well, there you go.
Band name, I call it.
In 4 weeks, the new popular band coming out of New Orleans is Turkey Sweat. He's got to get ready to it. It feels good. Yeah. Turkey Sweat.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Turkey sweat.
Like, that would definitely.
Bitch is going to beat you to the punch.
Oh, no.
A 2 minute cow funk song called Turkey Sweat.
Nah, dude. They
got their hands full at the Sphere, right?
Yeah.
They're done with that. But
they're done?
They're also, yeah. Mm. They, only four
that
nights.
Wasn't 4 months long?
Yeah, only four months.
Residency?
Yeah.
Well, it's Vegas. You never know, man.
It's funny because, like, they did, like, have a lot of people questioning. Like, you're doing a residency in Vegas for 4 nights, you know, because residencies usually are much longer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they, as Fish does, is like, well, we want every night to be unique and different. And so... We can only do 4 nights.
Yeah. This is all,
you know,
yeah.
Without repeating visuals, like they did 4 completely different nights, different visuals for every song. Of
I was gonna say
they played.
You know, it had to be visuals because they have proved they can do a baker's dozen of nights with no repeated songs.
That's true. They can go longer than that without repeating songs, but. Not the visuals, right?
So, listeners, if you're unaware somehow, there is this new venue in Vegas that is, it's not the Sphere. It's just Sphere, which I think is weird, but whatever. They didn't ask.
Everybody, like,
everybody calls
family
it the
in Vegas, everybody calls it the Sphere.
Because it is a Sphere.
Yeah.
You want to go to Sphere?
Is that thing.
No.
It's the Sphere.
You're not a Michael Crichton novel.
That's blighting the Vegas skyline. And it's
lighting the Earth's skyline.
Yes.
It's so bright. Dude.
Zero affiliation with this guy, but Zach and I watched Eddie Burback's video on the Las Vegas Sphere. 2-3 months ago?
Mm-hmm, something like that.
It's definitely worth watching, and it's just his experience with going to Las Vegas and just experiencing Sphere.
It's fucking wild.
I don't like that.
Experiencing
put a V in front of it, man.
Yeah, it hits the ear wrong. I need something to ground it, you know? I need
what
the
I don't.
You got English teachers.
What I don't like about it is that it's basically a giant billboard.
Yes.
I mean, I ain't mad at it. That's
no, it's a. It's a.
Well, I mean, that's what
how
Vegas
big it actually is, though. It's massive.
It is. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how you can watch things in there. Like, we went to Disney recently, and, you know, they've got massive screens with, like, all of these crazy visuals and shit. But that's nowhere near the size of the Sphere.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just like, not me.
It's designed for overstimulation in a place where overstimulation is the
base. The baseline.
It's the base.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in that YouTube video I was talking about, he went to go see U2.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
they were the first band.
They were the first band that first of two, like Fish was the second band, which was also surprising for a lot of people too. It's like, you know, everybody expected the next band to be something like Rolling Stones or Bruce Springsteen or something like that. But like once everybody saw what Fish did, they're like, oh this is the perfect fit for
well,
this.
Oh wait, the drums.
For them. The drums, you see.
I don't think from what I understand, the drug intake was a lot less than a typical Fish show because of the overstimulation.
Yeah.
And like it would, I was sitting there, you know, of course I bought the webcast for the whole weekend and I've watched most of it. And John came over and watched one of the nights and I was like, I don't know if I could eat edibles in there, let alone any mind altering drugs. You know what I mean? Like it's, Grayson's like, I would need a barf bag, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, well, and visuals aside, if you trip, fall down them stairs, you roll all the way to the bottom of that sphere.
Yeah.
Or of spheres.
It's a very steep.
Yeah,
just keep rolling. You just go all the way around.
Yeah, like, the thing is, they removed all the gravity from sphere.
Yeah, that's what
it's horribly dangerous.
My mother and sister have went and they watched some movie about the planet Earth or something. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing that Eddie Burback watched or whatever.
I would go.
And
they did like a nature documentary at sphere.
Like that's a
IMAX like planet Earth type thing to where you're like. Kind of
that's pretty immersive. Lit.
Yeah,
that's what
awesome.
I would go for. But that
that's what they said
awesome.
Is it's super steep. Like it just it feels very, very
dangerous.
Steep.
That would give me anxiety. Like I don't. Like,
do I get a harness? Do I get to like clip onto the rail as I go up? What's you just
so
want
nobody,
me to walk?
Nobody died.
Oh, that's good.
Did anybody fall?
Nobody fell.
Yay!
It's a successful weekend. You know, it is a lot. Like, even just from the couch, it's a lot. And I have some friends that went and came back, and they're like, you know, they were talking about it, and they talk about how it was just... Because not only is it the visuals, they have 1,600 speakers in there that can, like, change the direction of the music, you know?
Well, and,
like,
and they have language sections. Like, you can walk into the French section, and it all
translates. They're translating Trey, though.
They weren't doing that. But what they were doing was sending the instruments chasing each other around the room.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
Yeah, Blake said that there was, like, one point where they were in this, like... You know, in Antelope, so it was an intense jam or whatever. And it sounded like Mike was chasing Trey with his bass.
That's cool.
You know?
Well, and they
he didn't like it. He didn't like it. He's like, it was disorienting, you know?
Yeah. Well, they already, as a band, play around with that sort of sonic.
Right.
Like, that messed me up when we went to Alpharetta. Like, I noticed a few different times, just like, oh, it's like they'll you know, Trey loves his little, you know, and it like from the left to the right side of the stage, and it's like, what?
Yeah, when you see it live, you know, when you hear it, it just sounds like a stupid little whale boomerang, right? Right, but like when you're there, it like certainly circulates around the auditorium, and I can't imagine what that was like in the sphere.
It's kind of a mind fuck. Like even just their regular shows, they'll fuck you up with that.
I'll say this. You know, they're only the second band to do it. They'll definitely be back. What they did with the sphere is showing, I think, the future of what entertainment is going to be. Like, it is literally unlike anything I've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, it's not just, like, an upgraded planetarium or an upgraded light show. Like, they did things that, like, I literally... couldn't fully wrap my head around, you know what I mean? And that was just from, again, on a 2D screen, watching it at home, you know? Mm-hmm.
They're going to be the inspiration for the next generations, whatever their version of old time rock and roll is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't, the boomer, like, it's a fun rocking song, but it's just a boomer bitching about modern times, you know?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what Fish is these days. So. They're not bitching about it. They're talking about how everything's great. It's like, yeah, y'all are old and rich now.
Yeah,
I'm sure everything's fine.
It's groovy for you, Holmes.
I'm glad you're surviving this hellscape that we're living in.
Yeah. It's a soul planet, not a hellscape.
Oh. Yeah.
They've moved on from the word soul to the word waves. So now they have like 15 songs that have wave in the title.
There's a whole water set.
Floating waves. And.
Nice.
Speaking of waves.
Oh, shit. Boom.
He nailed it. Found his end.
Nice. Like this episode, 69.
You better take it. Shit, dude.
I'm taking it. I was waiting for y'all to chill out. When last we left the crew of the Independence.
Now I will not.
You were getting ready to head to a planet covered in waves.
Yes.
A water world, true. If you will.
With Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. Dude, I like Waterworld.
I did too.
The last couple of years, watched Waterworld again, and I mean, I don't know. It's a cool. It tickles my imagination. Yeah. It might not be like the greatest movie ever made, but like the premise
and it
tickles
very,
my imagination.
Like nostalgic too. Like
I'm more of the Postman guy.
I loved the Postman.
Postman's great.
Oh man, I really liked the Postman.
It's another 3-hour fucking Kevin Costner movie.
Oh.
I have not seen The Postman, but I've heard that Death Stranding is basically The Postman.
There's a lot of similarities to it, for sure.
And I think both of those films were like big, long epics that like did not return on the investment made in that movie and were considered flops.
Remind me about Waterworld, but wasn't that the one where it's just like, isn't it just Mad Max but on
world.
Water? So I mean, like, isn't it just like
water?
It's just Mad Max on water, right?
Yep, yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That is correct.
And is it okay? I think it's okay to spoil Waterworld, right?
Like,
it's more than 20 years old.
You're treading dangerous water here.
I haven't seen it, so.
Costner's
your friends
character,
with Josh. This is not going to be
he
okay.
He doesn't have a name. It's like a title. It's like the Wanderer or something, the Mariner or something. But he's like, has started to evolve, right? He's got like gills and shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like webbed hands and
would that come in handy?
It would come.
You didn't even have to pay 800 credits for those.
Yeah, exactly. He just did it.
Yeah, so he's got some adaptations for surviving in a water world. I hope that your characters have some gear or adaptations that you have purchased. I believe we've been talking about it over the last couple of days. Do y'all want to kind of go through quickly some of the stuff that you've got to allow your characters to survive and thrive, flourishing in your lane?
Wow,
in such a hostile environment. Yeah.
So we made all this money doing these side jobs, and we spent all this money on aquatic gear. I got an augmentation. I got swimming fins. So that I can have a swim speed. And then, of course, our armor provides a certain amount of protection. But
environmental protection
will allow us to breathe underwater. I have roughly 6 days worth that I can do
survive
that.
Down there. Okay. Yeah. I like it.
And, yeah, that's the equipment I bought. I also did buy a new Solarian crystal.
Oh, nice. Which is essentially buying a new weapon for Solarian.
Yeah, which, you know, so all my bitchiness aside, that is where most of my credits went to, was a new weapon that I'm excited about. It's an ice flame crystal, which is nice because that's now cold damage instead of fire damage.
Okay.
Especially since we're going underwater. It has the frostbite critical hit effect, which is basically just like burn, but cold.
Yeah.
And it also has Aurora trait, which means if I hit somebody, I can light them up.
Nice. Cool.
Light them up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dig it. I can dig that. All right. I think that's a good buy there, Roland. I think that'll work for Roland. Did y'all get anything?
Gadrick went a little bit more simple, I guess. Armor upgrade for a swim speed, the Hydrojet. And I basically got a pointy stick. It's a sword cane, or cane sword. Which one is it? Yeah, sword cane advanced.
Sword cane.
which is the same damage. Uh-huh. It is, but it's still, it's a stick that's pointy because piercing damage is full damage underwater. And also,
pointy in.
Yeah, also, it's an operative melee, which I have not had. So,
oh,
okay. And then what's it called? It's a flashlight, a portable light beacon. So 50-foot light radius.
Oh,
so nice. In case we are underwater and it's dark, we'll be able to see Mo better.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else got anything interesting?
I went ahead and got me a Mark II synaptic accelerator.
Oh. And,
yeah, spent a goodly portion of that for $6,500.
Yeah, I didn't know we could afford those.
Well, I could, because I've been miserly with my shit. I haven't bought Jack. And since, I don't know, how many episodes is this? Which episode is this again?
This is 69. The nicest of all.
John. Nice. Yeah, so nice. I for 69 episodes, I really haven't purchased Jack shit. You know, so I was able to do that and get hydro jets, which will allow me to keep my heavy armor on, and a tooth blade, which has the underwater trait. So it should not have to, it won't suffer any penalties as far as
tooth blade is piercing. Warhammer chain sword.
Ah,
but
yes.
It's made of teeth, right?
Yeah, yeah, but it's not motorized.
It was like a toothbrush shaved down into a shiv.
Yeah. You know?
Oh, it doesn't spin. It just
It's not motorized. It's just like
basically a
it's shark teeth
blade.
On it. Yeah, it's a serrated blade with shark teeth on it. Instead.
I just thought it was like a egg beater kind of like mechanic thing.
But it's much more like Monster Hunter than Warhammer.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly, yeah, absolutely, it's Monster Hunter. Okay, got it. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I got some swim fins. I imagine that maybe Morgan and Roland went and got their augmentations together.
Oh, that's so cute.
Did we?
In my headcanon, we did. But if you don't want to, that's fine.
No, I mean,
I got you.
Like, if you had asked him to go with you, he would have gone with them, but he certainly wouldn't have been like, hey, Morgan, do you want to go get... Not in his current mindset, is all I'm saying. But he wouldn't be rude to you either.
Yeah.
You know?
No, probably would have been...
But he was just really quiet during the proceedings, you know?
That's
noticeably
fine.
Quiet.
It's surgery. That's fine. It's allowed.
You don't get jazzed up about your surgeries.
I feel like Morgan's probably just chattering, like, like, isn't this fun?
Yeah, exactly. Morgan has a history of being really excited about questionable
surgeries. Much fun. That's pretty much all I got. I spent a lot of money getting my new armor, and that was pretty much it.
Gotcha. Okay. But you got a swim speed.
Got a swim speed.
With the augmentation.
Yep.
I think at this point, everybody's got a swim speed. Tia, did you get some swim... What did you go with? An armor upgrade or...
So, I don't know. I mean, if we're just knocking them out here at the beginning, I really liked the idea because Hestia is a Sheeran and, you know, has the same sort of genetic... connections to the swarm. They're very adaptable. I love the augmentation ideas, so I went ahead and got the gill sheath and the fins. I love the idea of a Sheeran, you know, kind of swarm evolving aquatic stuff to be better adapted under there. So you know, Hestia's got the sort of webbed fin feet thing now, and gill sheath that can, like, as long as it has that augmentation, can breathe underwater or in air.
Okay, so you got them both.
Yeah, I just, the gill sheath I probably could have done without, but I just wanted it. I was just like, this is just cool, and like, we may never do more underwater stuff ever in this campaign again, but if we do, I'll be prepared for it, and we'll have adapted, and that's the gill sheath feels so on brand.
It's not that expensive either, so...
Yeah, it's like 95 credits. It's not that bad. I did some drone stuff, too, but I figure we'll get into that on the journey there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so do y'all feel adequately prepared to go?
I guess.
As far as shopping?
As far as we know, you know.
Yeah. I just want to give you an opportunity before we head off of Absalom Station.
I mean, unless we can go in
we can buy.
And, like, loot a place.
You know? Is that an option?
Yeah, like, I'm literally out of credits. I had to borrow 100 from Morgan.
That was the only thing that he brought up in our surgery.
Can I borrow 100 credits, please? Can I borrow
100 credits, please? Remember that $25 credit gift that I bought you before?
I need to cash in that favor now, Morgan. Yeah. I'm sure you understand. Yes, absolutely. Okay, great. All right, so you load up the Independence with all of your new water adaptations and or augmentations and or gear. And your cargo bay full of highly specialized drill bits that you're taking to Intha, right?
As a cover for us to get there.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be supposed to be a quick drop off, right? So, like, it, you know, you have to figure out some way to figure out where Shan is and get there, right? Once you've touched down, you know, just to kind of remind you what the game plan, you know, is here, right? Like, you know, Shan's on this planet. You don't know where she's at. So you gotta figure that out. And then you gotta get to Shan, wherever she's at. But, you know, EdgeCorp is gonna be moving these deliveries in and out. So once you're on planet, you need to kind of figure out how to do a little reconnaissance, let's say. Okay?
Yep.
All right, so Intha, the water world, is out in the vast.
We got a bit of a journey on our
got a bit of a journey. You're going to have a few days. Yeah, how many days? You know,
it's nebulous.
It's nebulous. But a few days. So we've got some time on the Independence, on the journey, to kind of check in with the crew and see how we're feeling going into this. I would be remiss if I didn't open the floor to you all to take this opportunity
to do a SCF classic ship travel episode.
If that's what y'all want to do, we can certainly do that, you know. So feel like I'm just curious, do you have anything that you need to get off your chest, I guess, as characters or you know, what's happening with our crew?
I mean, as far as Tia, this journey provides an ample opportunity to reconfigure my drone.
Of course.
Like, as a mechanic, especially a drone mechanic, that's one of the things that she and I really look for is hyper-specific situations that we can try to mechanic a solution up to, right? So she's going to have to spend, you know, probably in the earlier part of this multi-day journey, 24 uninterrupted hours working on Mantis, right?
Okay.
To be able to,
no sleep,
like nothing, like literally. I was looking over it, and like we've talked about this in the past, and I just want to bring it up so that I don't get shit on in the comments. technically, you can do that anytime you level up. You can rebuild it, or anytime the drone gets destroyed. And we've talked about in the past. There's nothing stopping you from destroying your own drone to be able to rebuild it from scratch.
You must,
you know. So, I mean, I think that's what we're going to have to do is Hestia's going to... Oh, my sweet darling.
that's what I was thinking about. Mantis, my sweet.
Right. All right. And, like, completely disassemble and destroy Mantis in her normal combat drone, like, looking relatively similar to an actual praying mantis form. And then spend 24 uninterrupted hours. And what I was looking over and I find funny is any interruption longer than a short conversation adds 12 more hours.
Oh, wow. Right?
So you have to be, like, hyper-focused. So, like, there's a 24-hour period where Hestia is no-lifing rebuilding Mantis and is, like, has a sign up that's, like, you know, don't fucking bother me, but, like, don't Hylaxin bother me or whatever. She wouldn't cuss. but like is seriously dedicated to doing that. And in that process, it's going to let me, you know, build over from scratch and get rid of some mods and replace them with other mods, which is what is very exciting to me. Because what I did, I took out a few mods that were giving me things like AC, extra health, like I was just trying to make Mantis survivable and make it aquatic. So I gave Mantis Hydro Jets, which is going to give Mantis a swim speed equal to her, or half of her land speed.
Okay.
I also took the speed mod, which will add 10 feet of land speed, which will add 5 feet of swim speed because of the Hydro Jets. So Mantis is going to be rocking a 20-foot swim speed, which is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to the classic. I've been wanting a reason to go back to the riding saddle and cowboy up on Mantis, and so now I can do it underwater because I've got the riding saddle. I've got Hestia a swim speed, Mantis a swim speed, so if I get knocked off of Mantis, I'll be fine, but I'm going to be trying to stay on Mantis and using her as a mount.
What does this configuration of Mantis look like? Now, keep in mind, I'm going to require that Mantis's little Mantis head stays on the thing in some way.
It's just like a jet ski with Mantis' head.
But it's got to have Mantis's head, right? Like,
so my thought was somewhere like between, you know, like an insectile, the praying mantis is the traditional form for Mantis. My thought was converting her more to like a plesiosaur. Let's say, think Loch Ness Monster, right?
Okay.
So like having I think it'd be dual functionality, like the like having four fins like the Loch Ness Monster would, but they can stand upright or can go into water mode, basically. They're like fin-leg combos, but would still have the two, you know, mechanical arms that shoot a long arm, which that's the other thing. I did purchase a shiny new gun for Mantis to finally upgrade, because, you know, it took me a while to get in the rhythm of it, but, you know, I came to realize what I need to be doing is Hestia should not be shooting guns. Mantis should be shooting guns, and Hestia should be buffing Mantis, or buffing allies, or getting knowledge, or whatever. But, like, only in very dire circumstances should Hestia have a reason to shoot the guns, because she's not that good at it. Like, her to hit isn't bad, her damage isn't very good, right? And Mantis has good damage, but bad to hit. So I can spend my action giving bonuses to Mantis so that their big damage, yeah, helps. Or repairing if she gets damaged or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
so that's the big part of the, you know, early to middle part of this journey is no-lifing, recreating this aquatic version of Mantis, this Loch Ness Mantis, and love then it. Recovering from that, you know, like having to stay up for 24 or 36 hours or whatever to get this build done, and then it's gonna crash hard for like a day. And then I've got a thing I want to do like just before we get there, but I'll let other people kind of talk about their stuff.
I'll just say at the beginning of the trip, Roland, you know, in his normal way would kind of tell, you know, gather the group before we all kind of go off to do our own thing, and just say, you all have done very good in these last couple of jobs. I feel like we've really demonstrated how far we've come, and we're making some wise decision with our purchases, I see. I must emphasize the importance of finding Shan. We must succeed at this at all cost. I'm going to take some time in my quarters do some reading and some working out. I'll be in there if you need me, but I will be keeping mostly to myself. Good job, and be thinking about ways that we can find Shan quickly, as our window there is limited. Cheerio and all that.
Morgan doesn't laugh, but Emily does.
Cheerio. Yeah, and so, like, for most of the time on the ship, just, like, as far as where Roland is, you know, if you're trying to find him or anything, he's either in his quarters or in the whatever constitutes as our gym on the ship.
Okay.
Yeah, Gadrick is going to be doing fairly similar, but instead of reading, he is going to be marathon watching all of the Tremors movie and the very short run of the Tremors TV show.
Mm. No. Wow.
Surprise, wow. It wasn't Waterworld.
Mm. Yeah, well, so here's the thing. There's an actual downtime activity called Marathon Entertainment.
Oh yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it has to be of a single, or it says watching vids or playing games focused on a single specific intellectual property. Waterworld's not long enough to do a full day marathon unless you just rewatch it
by
over
itself.
And over.
There are no sequels. Yes, it is. Yeah. That's like a 14-hour movie, dude.
It's not.
But seven movies and a 13, I think, episode run on TV. That's Gadrick's trip.
Woof. What does it give you?
So based on the genre, there are different things. If it's comedy, you get a morale bonus to medicine checks somehow. Drama, you get saves against emotion effects. But for action and adventure, which I'd classify Tremors as.
Totally. Yeah.
The first time you roll an initiative check, you gain a +2 morale bonus to the check and gain temporary HP equal to your key ability score modifier for 2 rounds.
What's up.
So first combat, a little bit of a buff.
Josh, okay. Josh, just real quick.
Don't the forget
comedy
that.
Part. You said comedy, like for some reason, medicine. Laughter is the best medicine.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense.
That's why.
All right, so I'm going to try to keep track of our downtime activities here.
Mm-hmm. While he's doing that,
good old fashioned pen and paper, by the way.
Man of substance here. I posted a picture in our Live and Let Fly chat to give you a Pokemon-based idea of Mantis's new form.
Is it Lapras?
No, it's actually not. Samurott.
Oh, I have not seen that before. That's not one of the original 150. It don't count.
It certainly is
not. It don't count.
But think, yeah, like somewhere between Samurott and Lapras would be right in the ballpark.
Ah, it's got some kind of like shell horn. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's not part of it. Just more the leg formation.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
All right, so I got +2 initiative, temporary HP equal to dex, is your key ability score for 2 rounds for Gaddy.
Yep.
Okay. All right, very good. What else are we doing for these several days? A few days. An indeterminate amount of days.
Nebulous amount of days.
I did want to... This is not the downtime activity I want to do, but I was curious. Like, have we learned everything we can about this planet? Like, is
about
there any...
Intha.
Is there any... I mean, once Hestia finishes no-lifing this rebuild, like, that would be a priority. Is there anything more we can gain about this planet as far as knowledge from the infosphere or whatever?
I believe that there is, man. I believe that there is.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out, just quickly, what I can tell you before you get there versus what you have to be there.
Yeah.
To
learn. Uncover.
Yeah. Okay. So basically... You'll need to be there to learn more about the settlement, but the planet, yeah, we can certainly give you some information on. Infosphere is a computer check, or it could be a culture, I guess, for information on that. 28, that's pretty good. Okay. So, I mean, obviously you know that Intha is a water world. Right, like the whole thing is covered with water. It has a large coral kind of population, I guess you could say. Right, like there's a lot of coral on the planet. It was originally... it was originally discovered by an EdgeCorp scouting crew who accidentally found it after a drift jump. However, it was many more years before the company decided to start. Begin terraforming operations. Terraforming operations.
Were there any indigenous peoples on this planet?
Like the Copaxi or whatever they are? Coral people?
as far as anyone knows, there's no...
As far as EdgeCorp has let us know, of course, there's definitely no people on that planet.
None. No sentient life.
Well, I mean, like, there's, like, fish and stuff,
there's
right?
fauna, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But sentience, right? We certainly, there's no indication of anything like that on the planet. Okay. I mean, I don't know, like, coral, I guess, is technically alive, but I don't know.
No, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about sentient.
Yeah, or sapient, I guess.
Yeah, sapient, right.
I just keep thinking about that stupid Walking Dead joke. Get in the house, coral.
Sorry.
Coral. Get in the house.
Yeah, but so many years before the company decided to take it back up, right? They have a the primary outpost that you are going to be going to is a floating prefabricated base of operations named Elysia.
Okay.
Yeah.
They need drills.
They need drills for their terraforming operations.
Oh, I'll bring them a drill.
They're burning through drills.
That sounds fine. That
I'll
sounds
bring them
fine.
Lots of drills, but I'll bring them one ominous drill.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, I mean, that's what you know about Intha so far.
Okay. We'll have to try and collect more information once we get there, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the executive in charge here on Intha is a dragon, a green dragon.
Ooh.
Named
like full dragon?
Like a dragon. Like,
wow, okay.
Yeah.
Triaxis' whole business is like dragons, right? Like the whole business sexter? The whole business sector.
Yes. Yes.
What you got, John? What you doing?
So, yeah, I think because of Vincent's fear of water, he has been trying to figure out ways in which to provide, like, his own survival towards that. So any way he can. So, aside from the purchases that were made on Absalom, there's this downtime activity called Workout. And so
that's what I'm going to do too.
That's what I'm going to do is I'm going to be working out. And so, like, what that says is that so whether through aerobic exercise, pumping iron, sparring, or otherwise putting yourself through the paces, you push your body to improve its performance. And as a result, on a successful, well, I'm doing the multi-day. So that's for
you have to. This one requires multi. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what that requires is that it says decide whether you're working on your agility or sheer physical power. That'll either reflect on in acrobatics or athletics. And you spend 7 days carefully alternating intense training and mindful rest. And if this activity is interrupted, you can resume it within 10 days, yada, yada. But at the end of the 7 days.
2 days.
Huh?
2 days.
Yeah. You can resume it within 2 days. But at the end of 7 days, attempt a fortitude saving throw with a DC equal to 10 plus half your character level, which would be 3. You gain a +2 circumstance bonus to this save if you have access to an exercise-focused recreation suite or similar activity. Okay?
Facility,
yeah. So
I got lost in the sauce on that one, man.
Basically, at the end of this, we're both going to roll a fortitude save against a DC. If we succeed, we're going to improve our athletics. Basically, we can re-roll a failed check once a day for a week.
Next song.
So it's been a couple days. Morgan's kind of been tinkering around with their needler pistol, trying to make it waterproof, essentially. And has been trying to just give Roland a little bit of space. But once their weapon is pretty watertight, they would make their way to Roland's room. So, like, knock, knock, knock.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Captain. Do you have a moment to talk?
Yeah, sure. And he, like, puts a bookmark in his book and sets it down. What can I do for you, Morgan?
They would come in and... Do you mind if I shut the door? Just...
No, of course not.
And would kind of sit down and... Just look at Roland for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I know Shan means a lot to you. Did you want to talk about anything? You seem very... Obviously stressed. I can only imagine. This is a bit of a stressful situation. But I just wanted to check in on you and make sure that you were alright, or as alright as you can be. If there's anything that I can do for you. I am here for you, Roland. You don't have to bear this by yourself.
Yes, of course, Morgan. You always have been. There's just some history there with Shan, and I just care very deeply for her, and I'm just nervous about what could have happened to her. I mean, we both know how little regard Edgecourt has for human life. They'll do whatever it takes to be successful, and I was disappointed to hear that Shan was working for them or with them or whatever, and now she's in danger, and well, it just brought up a lot of old memories, and he stops there and looks at you pretty squarely in the eye, and after kind of a pregnant pause says, and has brought some confusing feelings to light. I know that I can't hide those from you, Morgan. You sense them all day long, so I won't attempt to, but well, frankly, I don't know how to feel about a lot of things, but I do know that we must rescue Shan.
They just kind of like shake their head and give you a moment just to kind of sit with yourself and say, Roland, whatever history or even whatever current situation that you and Shan may have, please know that I don't have any issue with that. You're welcome to be friends or more with anyone that you would like. I don't want you to feel like you have to keep things from me out of a sense of hurting my feelings. That will not be the case. I know that you've been struggling with a lot of these thoughts and a lot of this history. And I just wanted to let you know that that's not an issue for me. I know who you are, and I can't imagine why Shan wouldn't be interested in you.
Oh, that was a bit of the problem. Morgan, I want to be clear. I am not worried about you possessing any feelings of jealousy or ownership over whatever it is that we have, and frankly, I don't know what we have. And
labels are messy.
Sure. And he kind of, like, you can see he's a little perturbed at that, because, you know, maybe you can sense this as an empath, is like, he's not looking for labels. He's not, but he also like some acknowledgement, you know, we've just never discussed it. You know, we've done this kind of flirt back and forth, but we've never discussed it. And nor has he, he hasn't brought it up either, because it wasn't on the surface, but now everything's on the surface. And so he's feeling in a lot of ways. And, he says, your jealousy is not the problem. You do not strike me as one that would be possessive or jealous. And while I appreciate you saying as much, perhaps us just remaining friends and co-workers is really the best at the end of all this anyways. If you don't mind, I actually do have some working out that I need to do. I appreciate you coming here and letting me know and offering your kindness. If I have more to talk about, I will certainly share that with you. But I think I really must be off. And he kind of holds the door open, steps up and holds the door open for you.
They would, you know, stand up and kind of nod at you and then pause at the door and turn and just give you a hug. Not ask, but just give you a quick hug and just say, we'll get it back. Everything will be all right. You'll see.
Yeah, Roland definitely leans into the hug and kind of holds you, you know, for an extra second or two. But then when you pull back from the embrace, his face is as stern as ever. He's like, we must. You sense and feel all sorts of conflict coming from Roland, in that he is pulling into himself. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like all of the ease of our rapport is not there right now, and he's like all business, you know.
As they walk down the hall, you know, they're you know, shoulders are back, they're poised as always, but as they kind of turn the corner, like they slump a little bit, like they're just trying to hold it together until they're out of earshot, eye view, and they just kind of collapse a little bit, like just kind of like their shoulders collapse. And would head to the mysticism chamber, you know. And I would like to, at that point, do another downtime activity, because we've got a few different days. Morgan would have a kind of meditation space set up in there, and they would completely disrobe and kneel on a cushion in their meditation space. And they have oils that they would anoint their body with. And as they're doing that, they would lift up a prayer to Arche. And I imagine if you're kind of like the camera pant pulls back some, you can see the huge
There's a vase
tattoo.
Tastefully obscuring.
Of course. Any butt cracks or anything, you know. We're tasteful. Very,
absolutely.
Very. It's our brand.
It's a family show.
It's a family show.
this low-key.
Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Yeah.
Now, butt cracks out. We're obscuring the backs of the elbows. That's what we're allowing here.
But you would see kind of as the camera pulls back, the huge Arche tattoo on Morgan's back kind of maybe pulse just a little bit as they are connecting with their deity. And this is going to be the channel divinity activity.
Okay.
Essentially, you spend time in religious contemplation. There we go. And essentially, you ask for a boon of sorts from your deity. Specifically, I am using the espouse activity. What they would kind of do is ask for a guiding light, some kind of indicator when we need it. Something to help us find Shan quickly. Because that is the thing that seems to be causing Roland the most concern, is like getting to her as quick as possible. And we don't really know where she is. We know that we're going to have to do some digging. We're going to have to figure out some things. So if Arshay can do anything to help guide us in that, whatever that looks like, and it's fully up to the GM, because Arshay doesn't have set benefits or boons or anything. So it's kind of up to you to decide how you want to do that. I do have to make a mysticism check.
Okay.
Just to kind of make sure everything pops off all right. The DC is going to be 24. Let's see what we can do. Oh, yeah, baby. That's an 18 on the die. Plus 14. Is okay. well over 24.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you're meditating, Morgan, and as you're asking Arshay for these things, you do feel a sense of like reassurance. You know, it's internal. It's just a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just a vibe that you pick up, a small little wavelength that permeates into your consciousness. That's calming, that's reassuring, that you feel that Arshay has heard you and knows what to do, even if you don't. I will say it is a little bit of an emotional reprieve after kind of the sting that you've been feeling.
Perfect. Because they're trying really hard to be very, like, okay, this is business now, so let's take care of business, but... Also, their feelings are a little hurt because thought we were a little bit closer than that, and I just want to help you. So yeah, what that's dick. Pretty much it. What a dick. That's Morgan's.
So yeah, I'll say that I do now go to the gym, right?
Oh right, that's right. A thing we were doing. Yeah.
Yeah, and seeing. Anticipating Vincent there, even.
Yep.
And, you know, he goes and he starts working out just without saying anything, just kind of nods at Vincent. Vincent, I imagine, is already working out. And he just goes in there and just kind of nods and starts getting after it. But, you know, he's kind of like grunting a little louder than he needs to, you know, kind of like doing that thing of, I want to talk, but I don't want to be the one.
Right. You know, like. he's lifting 20-pound weights.
So I feel like this is coming from Roland's perspective, but from like Vincent's perspective. Okay, first off, he's feeling good. Like as far as like he's getting a good workout. He's in the zone, and like he sees. Fucking Roland come in and his shoulders are slumped. It's plain as day to see that something is up with the captain, you know, that like he kind of picked up on it on the first point whenever he says, well, I'm going to be in my room for the whole, like, you know, trip, you know? So obviously, you know, he's like, well, you know, maybe he'll just work it out in himself, you know? But seeing him come in there and seeing him try to, you know, make these like impressions of like, I want to talk, but I don't want to like start it off or anything. It's like, seems kind of like he sees it, you know? I mean, like, Vincent is like 200 plus years old. He's seen this shit before, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's just like, oh, what's in your crawl, mate? You brush your teeth with a toilet brush?
What? I don't even understand that insult. I'm just... I don't know. is, we just can't ever catch a break, can we?
No. I've been saying that since the fucking Yara berries, mate. So, yeah. I mean, it's trying to do this the best we can, but,
Well, it's just, you know, I was having one moment of feeling exhilarated and confident in our team and, you know, and what we're capable of, and that was so brief. And now, of course, once again, one of our past catch up with us, and this time it's mine, and it's not even that big a deal, but it's frustrating to come at such a time, you know? I enjoyed my confidence and exuberance and having fun out there and on the ground, and now my head is swimming with all these feelings and confusions, and I just... I'm frustrated.
Hills and valleys, mate. Hills and valleys. You know, the one thing that I gotta say is that being around as long as I have, you know, nothing's ever truly over. Not really. I mean, you think about it, and I mean, you, things come back around, you know, things all resurface, and, well, honestly, what the fuck are you trying to say there, Roland? Because it seems like you're beating around the bush here. I mean, I know you're saying that, like, we've had a rough time and all. And yeah, but everybody's had a fucking rough time of this. And yeah, you're talking about your past coming up to bite you at an inopportune time. Oh, God, fucking life. It hits you in the face at your most inopportune moment. But guess fucking what? I did too. You know, fuck, I don't know where the fuck's engine is. But anyway... I'm trying to have a good time. So what are you trying to say here, Roland?
Well, this brutal honesty is why I came to you, particularly Vincent. I knew that you would tell me how it is, you know, and I've grown to appreciate that about you. And your years, I'm only 27 or somewhere about that age. I can't remember what I decided. So, Shan, as you might have gathered, I have some history with Shan.
Right.
We were friends. We were great friends back when on Le Jacques. She was there doing research, trying to find a way to save our planet.
Yeah, that's your planet, right. Okay. Yeah.
And you may be aware that it is doomed to be frozen as the sun is dying.
Oh, fuck me, mate. I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Damn.
You can say.
How do you respond to that? You
know, that's rough, buddy.
Yeah, that you could consider that to be one of the greatest valleys of my life, if you want to phrase it that way.
I love the inadvertent dog pun, too. Pretty rough.
Shan, she came as part of a research team to try to see if there was a way that the star could be fired back up, or the remaining energy amplified to provide us what we needed. Of course, that was a failure. But while we were there, we got very close.
Mm-hmm.
Similar in a fashion to, you may have noticed, I've been keeping it pretty secret, I'm sure, but my relationship with Morgan.
No. You and Morgie? Really?
Well, you joke, but the fact of the matter is that I actually don't know what we are. And I hadn't thought about it. It was just kind of fun flirtations back and forth. But with Shen and all the memories there, kind of forced it into view. And... well, I rejected Shan, and she didn't take it very well. It wasn't her fault. I just came to realize who I was during that time, and unfortunately, she... well, the fact of the matter is, now I'm feeling that way regarding Morgan. I mean, Morgan, as you know, is a very outward person.
Sure.
They worship of a god of sexuality and love and expression. And yet, the only thing that Morgan has said to me is that they are not jealous of Shan. It's so confusing.
So, have you talked to them about it? Have you mentioned your feelings or anything? I mean, this is complicated territory. I think it requires two parties.
Right, but no, I can't talk to them about it. Here's the thing. I'm not good for you. My eyes are always set on the next thing. I've ran away from every major responsibility that I've had, including Shan. This is the first responsibility that I haven't run away from, and I don't want to put myself in a position to where I have to. And I don't want to complicate things with Morgan and as thus the rest of the crew. But I have these fucking feelings, and I just, as I said, timing is terrible, and why can't we just be happy as a crew? Is that too much to ask?
No, I think everybody earns a shot at, deserves a shot at happiness. And, I mean, as far as running away, mate, that doesn't make you a piece of shit or undeserving of love. I mean, everybody deserves love, come on. So,
those that abandon their family, abandon their friends, abandon their teachers, all because for what, the spirit of adventure?
This self-flagellation just doesn't do you, mate. It really fucking doesn't. I mean, look, you're young, all right? And the thing is that you're gonna have this gnawing at you until you learn to forgive yourself before you can actually trust others. And sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith. You know what you want, even though you're punishing yourself for it. I say give it a shot. What do you think?
Can you spot me with this lift?
Yeah. Just don't go a little bit lighter on the weights there. You seem to be having a little bit of trouble. I noticed a bit like an extra grunt in there. So, maybe you're just overextending yourself, all right? Maybe you need to work on your form. Let's work on that. So, okay. And yeah, he's going to spot
him. Yeah, thanks, Vincent.
Yeah, of course, man, of course.
All right, now we can make those rolls, Zach.
All right, make your rolls! DC's 17?
It's 10 plus half of our level.
Oh, yeah. So 13.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Fuck, I forgot what it was. Oh, yeah, fortitude save. Strength, yeah. So,
no, you make a fortitude save.
A fortitude save, okay, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Which will be against DC 13. I hit that with a 15 on the die, plus 5, so a dirty 20.
Okay.
So that means that I will be able to reroll a failed athletics check once a day for a week.
Okay.
Okay, so I rolled an 18.
Okay, that is also a success.
Nice!
Okay. Hell yeah. Cool.
Okay, I've written all that down. I think that just leaves Tia in terms of a downtime activity. Tia,
I mean, just I do want to mention that I also will be doing the downtime activity to make my weapon usable underwater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
same.
I think we all will be
everybody
doing that.
Pick one weapon, I guess, and you can give it the underwater property.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just say it now. It's going to be Mantis's weapon, not Tia's.
Okay.
Because I'm smart, wicked smart. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've got a couple of things, and I'm going to try to be quick about it. But Tia, after spending all that time, no sleep, working on the drone, on Mantis, and then getting, you know, a day of rest or whatever, the next day, she... And I'm not going to, like, sort of... I don't want to spend the time to, like, kind of RP individually with you. But throughout the day, kind of comes around to each crew member. And wherever you're at, and, you know, very much trying not to intrude, but insists on coming to talk to you. And it's like, I know this may seem silly to you, but it is something that means a good deal to me. And it would make me feel better going into... a strange situation that we're going into. And could you just answer these questions? And as she comes to each of you in different, however you respond to them, she gives you a piece of paper, and on it is what you can only describe as a friendship survey. And on it you see questions such as, what's your favorite color? What's your fondest memory? What's your favorite season?
So
what is your zodiac sign?
You know you're
going
to have to actually develop this form and give it to us in that thing. Because yes, the listeners are going to want to know our answers to
sure,
us.
I can handle that later, okay. But I'm let me cook.
Yep.
what's your zodiac sign or whatever the equivalent in this universe is? If you could only have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? When you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? And the list goes on. Like, it's too long of a list, right? But she asks all of you. No, it's not 100, but we'll say it's 20 or something. But she fervently and, like, very earnestly asks each of you to fill it out and get it back to her
as soon as possible.
As soon as you can. Yes, I need these back before we arrive on the mission into untold peril. And once you guys, I don't know how long it takes you, get it back to her. Again, just go with me on this, right? That next day, or maybe later that evening, some of you would notice, or actually, Hestia comes over the comms and makes an announcement. And all of this does seem odd. If any of what I'm doing sounds odd, it's supposed to. But she makes an announcement. Yes, fellow crew members, I just wanted to announce very quickly. There is a problem with the galley sink. It is overflowing, and so I will be repairing the sink. And please don't come in there, because I wouldn't want you to slip and fall. And later that evening, each of you don't see Hestia come to you, but she has Mantis come to each of you in Mantis's new sort of new Pokemon variety. A new aquatic form, wearing a little bow tie and holding a fancy looking piece of paper. Mantis brings each of you what appears to be an invitation to a fancy dinner in the galley that she had been repairing. On the note, you see that says, you are cordially invited to a specially prepared meal catered to your tastes individually. Please attend in 20 minutes or whatever the time is. And it's like, P.S. I lied about the sink overflowing. I'm so sorry.
Adorable.
And so when you all eventually, like, make your way to the galley, I have taken the cook feast downtime action. And so I am spending 5 credits per person to feed you whatever you answered on your friendship survey as if the answer to your, if you could only have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? Like, she spent the latter part of the day cooking. I mean, it could be a feast up to 15 people, right? Like, by the rules. But cooking each of your, like, favorite meal as well as she can, and has it, like, set up, like, super swanky and nice. It has, like, you know, candles and stuff. And so it's invited all of you to this big fancy dinner. Now, mechanically, what this means is I will roll a culture check. And if I succeed, everyone will get some benefits from this downtime activity. And it can be done, like, if this is on the last day before we get there, it does, like, you can all get the benefits of this as well as whatever your final day's downtime activity is. Right. So
okay. It's going to be the final day.
Okay, cool. Okay. 17 plus dirty 30 on the check. The DC, you can attempt a culture, profession, cook, or survival check with a DC equal to 15 plus 1 for each creature fed. So I'm feeding five of us, mm-hmm. right? And I beat it easily. So if you succeed on the check, anyone partaking regains an additional hit point for every two character levels they have after their next full night's rest. And each gains a plus one morale bonus to their next saving throw made against disease or poison. So, if we do run into any poisons or diseases in the, you know, water world, that'll give you guys a bonus. And if we are down there long enough that we need to rest, you'll recover more from resting.
How much more was that? I'm adding it to my character notes.
For your healing? It is one hit point for every two character levels you have.
Okay. So three hit points.
Cool.
Yep. I will just say that Roland comes to dinner looking fly as hell. Like, he's got his, like, mane slicked back, and he's wearing, like, a black coat. Like, not like a full-length duster, but, you know, like, those kind of Western fit coats, right? You know what I'm talking about, right?
It's a Western coat, man.
Yeah, Western coat.
Yeah, yeah, a Western coat.
Okay. He's cleaned up his scarf really nice, and he's got it, like, all just, like, he's looking put together as hell. And he's like, Tia, this is lovely. What a extenuating gesture. I particularly liked the touch of Mantis being your little invitation butler. That was very cute.
Thank you, Captain. We're nearing our destination, and I know the crew has been at various levels of dealing with their own things, and everybody's been busy trying to prepare things, and I just wanted to do something nice for everyone, and we're going into a dangerous situation, so while we have the time, let's do something good and positive and wholesome.
Awesome. I love a good dinner. You, Roland definitely seems kind of a little bit lighter. Still in his thoughts, obviously, but not quite so dour. If he even was dour, he was just kind of internal. But he puts on the face to be, like, friendly with his crew, and, like, we're having a social gathering, and he's not just being, like, pouty at the dinner, and he's making jokes and hanging out, you know.
Yeah,
even and that's mostly kind of like surfacely, but yeah.
Okay, sorry, I have to do it. Roland said what he was wearing. Morgan's gonna say what they're wearing.
No, please, yes.
I was waiting.
I mean, I just wanted this to be a nice little evening before we go into some probably terrible, depressing, yeah, messed for sure, up shit, for sure. You know?
Morgan...
That would never
happen. Never, what? That doesn't sound like anything we'd get into. Morgan has on, like, these skin-tight, like, faux leather, because they don't like to wear real leather or fur. Kind of pants, and some, we'll say, like, some pretty conservative heeled boots, about 4 inches only for the heel, so that's totally, it's basically a kitten heel. And they've taken one of their shorter scarves and have fashioned it into a bit of an ascot, as it were, and they have on this metallic silver gold, like, depending on how they turn in the light, it catches a different color, vest that's, like, just a two-button vest, and they've got the ascot kind of tucked into the vest. And they see that, like, everybody's here. Everybody seems to be having a really good time. Roland seems a little bit lighter. They would raise their glass and just say, Tia, thank you. This was very, very much needed. And I just know that we're going to do so well out there. And honestly, I'm just so happy to be on this crew with all of you. I know that we'll all watch each other's backs. We'll take care of Shan. And like at that, like they direct a look towards Roland like, it's cool. And then we'll go home and we'll have some money. It'll be lovely. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic because of all of you. Cheers.
Cheers, cheers. You, might I say, you cheers. Both look lovely.
This whole thing. Thank you.
At absolutely. Vincent's comment.
He smirks at that. Yeah.
For them both looking lovely, Gadrick glances down at his stained white tank top. It's got Cheeto dust on it from his trimmers.
I thought that was mustard on your shirt.
Just been watching movies constantly. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Like Gadrick would definitely just show up. Gadrick, like it's any other night in the galley. Yeah, you know?
Perhaps a shower is in order. You've been in that video room for quite a while.
I'm almost done. It's gotten worse and worse as it's gone, but I'm going to see this thing through, I tell you what.
I feel like, what's his name? Vincent wore his one clean white, you know, as far as his shirt, you know, and just wearing some blue jeans with it, you know. He's not trying to impress. He's definitely going to be the one that like comes in with the attitude of just like, Roland, your hair's a little, your hair's, what is it like? Your hair's messed up in this spot, and just like puts his finger in the spot, in the spot to mess it up, you know. As he's walking by, kind of
recoils from that. It's like, look, I was sitting weird. Don't judge me. I've been in the same spot for a long time, Vincent.
He's just like, Gadrick is all hunched over.
It's like one spot that looks like a guinea pig's cowlick.
Oh,
yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, and Tia's once again in her pink chef's hat and apron. Last time it was as Vincent's assistant, and this time, you know, has taken it upon herself to prepare her own meal.
No longer sous chef.
Yeah. But you can see the Roland t-shirt is like underneath. I feel like it's not the only shirt she has, right? But like, it's like when you have a favorite band tee or something, it's like, all right, dude, like you wear this like three times a week. Like it's too much, you know? That's how she is with the t-shirt with just Roland's face on it, you know?
Roland's like, so Gadrick, what do you think of Tia's meal here? As our resident cook, has Tia lived up to the standard or? To buttered toast, or has she...
Toast sandwiches, but...
Toast sandwiches, my bad, yes.
I mean, look, Cap, be real with you. Damn near anything's better than a toast sandwich. I know.
No, including this can of beans in my cheeks.
No, I've got to just say, it's mechanically good.
There you go.
I was succeeded my check. It's good. Toast sandwiches, but...
I'm just
stirring the Vincent is the cook.
It's dude, it's just flavor, right. Flavor.
It's flavor.
We're in double flavor town now.
The thing that Gadrick wrote down as his favorite food was a toast sandwich. Then it's the best damn toast sandwich he's ever had.
So I actually decided what Vincent's favorite meal was.
I was curious if you guys were going to take the bait. What would your character's meal of choice have been? So,
the plate is laid out in front of him, and he immediately recognizes it. What it is, he says, "Oh, really? So this was what it was all about. I can't believe that you made salmon with cinnamon, just like my mom used to make."
Compliments of Chef Pat.
I hate it.
On the desert planet of Akaton, you know.
This lasagna is killer. Thank you.
This is one of the best bowls of elk stew that I've ever had.
Lasagna, elk stew.
Well, I mean, I lived on a frozen planet, you know. Like,
right.
Okay. And I am a wolf, after all. You know?
It's not so much that it's like, it's just like, wow, like the shopping list must have been a pain in the ass.
You just generated the food thing from our fancy food maker, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, my
or you generated the ingredients
initially was that I would have that she would have picked up mm-hmm. good ingredients. Like you have to, it says you have to have access to premium ingredients mm-hmm. or buy them. And my thought was like she went and bought a bunch of premium ingredients. Yes, I did. I did. It tells me to pay 5 credits per person. I was really surprised that you asked Morgan for 100 credits. I could have spotted that easily.
They offered. I didn't have to ask. They offered.
Okay, well, I can give you telepathic messages, but I can't.
Lovely meal.
Yeah. I think it would be very like simple but kind of weird. It would be a, I don't know, just a sushi roll, like a very like a Philly roll, like something very simple, but then the most decadent over the top iced cupcake you've ever seen. Like those two things mm-hmm. paired together. Nice.
The designer cupcake and the cheap sushi roll.
Yeah, the gas station sushi roll. Yeah.
Gas station sushi.
Dude, the gas station sushi. Not even the grocery store sushi, dude. The gas station.
You know what? Maybe grocery.
That was one of the writing prompts for Everyone's John or whatever that game is called. That was one of the prompts I came up with. Like he's just wakes up on the curb eating gas station sushi.
That's rough. We've all been there.
What do Sheeran eat?
Anything.
Like, I don't really know. I mean, other than vomit.
Succulent paste.
My succulent paste is actually more along what I was thinking, because I was racking my brain, like, what would that be? But I believe at some point in our 69 episodes, I mentioned that Hestia maybe isn't a vegetarian, but tends to not eat meat mm-hmm. very often. Mm-hmm. So probably some kind of like really nice salad with, you know, I don't know, with like fancier than normal salad mm-hmm. ingredients. Mm-hmm. Succulent paste, tossed in succulent paste. Couple whale polyps Ooh. Thrown on there.
Going all out synthetic with this whale one. Polyps. Did you get that from the vending machine?
Yeah. Need 5 credits for this.
It is economy.
that's the funny thing to me is that it's only cost 5 credits per person to cook a like super fancy meal. It's like you must be getting the hookup somewhere.
Yeah, for real. These are fresh whale pops.
But yeah, such a thing as fresh whale polyps. I just don't know how fresh.
You get them right off the whale.
Right off the whale.
Right off. You take them right off the whale.
Makes you.
How many whales are running
don't
around
worry
Absalom
about
Station?
Space whales,
going?
Man. They come to your head.
Space whales are a thing in this game.
From space to ship, you know?
It's just the logistics of it all.
Space to table. Space to ship, dude. Come on.
I will withhold my final judgment on that. I'm not convinced.
That's what you're going to dicker fresh. About.
But, go.
It was a nice gesture.
They can be well preserved. Yeah, okay, they can be well preserved.
Whale polyps. No, that's hard and fast.
When it matters.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
I secretly absconded with the ship, went and wrangled a space whale, and took these polyps off of it myself.
Impressive. That's an impressive feat. Okay. You all enjoy a delicious meal of your favorite selections, as noted in your friendship survey that Tia had you all complete. And you I'll go to sleep, get a good night's rest. If you're not fully rested in whatever capacity, please do so now. And the next day, T-0, arrival the planet Intha. You pop out of the drift. You cruise over. I mean, obviously, it's a big blue sphere, right? However, as you approach this planet, there is a small space station. Near the space station is a ship, an EdgeCorp negotiator. I'll be familiar with an EdgeCorp negotiator. I will show you some art. I'll post it in our Discord chat. But it's kind of a funky looking ship, isn't it?
Yes. It
looks like some kind of space age protractor.
Like a space gun.
It does look like a gun.
Yeah, it's got an asymmetrical design to
weird.
It. I don't know how to describe it, but it looks like a staple gun.
Hey,
it looks like
gun.
The number six.
Or like
the number six.
Millennium Falcon.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
Millennium Falcon, but staple gun number six with a fin in the center of it.
Nailed it.
Millennium Falcon, but it's a staple gun, but it's number six.
And it has a fin right down the back.
With one fin, like a shark.
Yeah. Let's see. To everybody draw what you think was just explained. We'll see how close it gets.
Yeah. But you're all familiar with this EdgeCorp negotiator, with this ship. And you know that this thing is bristling with firepower. Okay? And you see that this ship is monitoring this queue that has formed of starships waiting to land, like waiting for clearance, right? As you get close and you fall into the queue, there's an AI traffic control program which is regularly broadcasting the queuing information, you know, letting people know so-and-so, you're cleared, the name of your ship is cleared or whatever. You know, please follow the negotiator class ship to the surface and such and on, you know, so on and so forth, right? Eventually, the ship at the front of the line, right, receives that clearance for landing. Negotiator comes up and escorts it to the surface. Both ships shrink into tiny little dots as they approach this vast water world surface. While the Independence is waiting in the queue, an open emergency broadcast from the surface reaches your ship. You hear, "Attention, an RC-HPR class ship in unauthorized possession of company property has left Intha without clearance from the Yevgenia Jameson Corporation. Parties able to detain these criminals will be well compensated for their assistance." Once that message ends, the Independence scanners pick up a ship moving rapidly towards the queue. Now, it's not hard to tell. This is an Eureka RC-HPR. The transponder code has it named the Cernox Tooth. Anybody wants can roll either a culture or a piloting check.
Yeah, I'll do a piloting.
Culture.
That's going to be a 29.
Okay. 29's pretty good.
24?
24 is also pretty good. Both of you who beat the DC, which was 17, okay? You would recognize that these RCHPRs are quintessential working class vessels. They're not very likely to be used by any kind of criminal enterprise, right? They don't even have drift travel capability.
We're in the vast, right? And they don't have okie dokie.
Yeah, they don't have drift travel
it's more
capability
like a
on
shuttle,
this
though.
Ship. Yeah, right. But you would also know that this company negotiator in pursuit, which is, it moves at the same speed as this, you know, RCHPR, probably can't catch, the negotiator can't really catch Cernax Tooth without some kind of help, hence the broadcast that went out, right? So, nobody else seems to be doing anything, but as the Cernox tooth gets closer and closer to the Independence, the ship hails all nearby ships, and you see a Formian woman on the intercom, and desperately she says to you, "This is Captain Chauvin of the Cernax Tooth. The company isn't telling you everything. My crew and I are independent contractors. Our ship was ferried to Intha weeks ago for a mining operation, but the company neglected to tell us that Intha's a water world. The tooth's not rated for underwater operations, so I figured no harm, we'll be on our way. But the company called us in breach of contract and tried to seize my ship. Well, they can go to hell. Can anyone help me out?" And we'll see.
Shit.
Damn.
No. We don't need to bring EdgeCorp attention, but we should definitely help.
Should have read the contract.
Don't like
I know what Hestia would do.